Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta, and my guest today is Angela Barnes. And I bought one of those little inspirational quotes that you put on your wall, and it says, live with intention, be bold in the face of adversity, live the life you were destined for. And being bold in the face of adversity is certainly our topic today. Angela Barnes, I'll say a little bit about her and bring her right on, but she is the daughter of Janet Barnes, who has an amazing story. Angela has an amazing story in her own right, but I think you'll really be inspired and we'll have some great takeaways for you about overcoming adversity. Angela Barnes is a published author, poet, songwriter, and a powerful and candid speaker. She's the founder of Heart Spoken Words, a site dedicated to her writing that seeks to spark the truth in others. She is passionate about charitable organizations and founded the 90-pound heavyweight Janet Barnes Legacy Foundation, honoring her mother's life and legacy. A former nonprofit administrator and a real estate entrepreneur, Angela has a BS in business and a master's in public administration. She shares her life journey of growing up in a household where both parents were differently abled, quadriplegic and paraplegic. And after years of expressing her feelings through poetry and later documenting her mother's exceptional life in 90-pound heavyweight, The Life and Triumph of Janet Barnes, she realized the awesome power of her own voice. And she began understanding the healing power of speaking the truth boldly, even when it was soul painting. She further realized that each event she encountered shaped her life, resulting in the emergence of a new and dynamic voice, one that is empowered and empowering. Her desire is that now that her words may serve as a catalyst for others to find their own innate power to live life more fully in peace and joy. And you can go to 90poundheavyweight.org. That's 90, the numbers 90, poundheavyweight.org, P-O-U-N-D, you know, spell the rest of it out, .org. Angela Barnes, welcome to Creating Change.
Thank you, Doug. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So yeah, I'm wondering if you could say a little bit. I definitely want to talk about how you came into your own voice. And I know that this is a conversation we've had before, but you and I have had. But can you say a bit first about your mother and her extraordinary story that your book, 90-Pound Heavyweight, is based on?
Well, Mother is in the Guinness Book of Records as the longest living quadriplegic. It's a feat and a recognition that she deemed was fair. There's a whole story behind that as to why the book even came to be. And it was because she just didn't think the record was right. But both my parents were in wheelchairs my entire life and have been a tough act to follow. Both of them have never seen a problem where they didn't find a solution.
Right.
They had to create it. Daddy made the hand controls for the car he drove. Mother found ways to do things that were literally impossible to be done. So I have a history and a legacy of people getting things done with or without the know-how, it seemed, and then they've developed the way to do it. So for me growing up, challenge was a norm. And
right.
Expectation was a norm. And so for myself, from a young age, I've written down words on napkins, on scribbles, on papers. Young at home in the bunk bed, on my sister bumping up underneath me to push me up in the sky while I was looking with the moonlight to scribble words. Till the point came in 2009 approximately that I put the collection together that is 5 decades of writing poetry. That's called One Foot in Front of the Other. And then this time with Mother was at a time that I wasn't so comfortable and so sure she was going to survive. She had some terrible ulcer wounds. They were created by some damage with the wheelchair and the seat she was in. She was not sick, but the fear was there. So the purpose of the book was to document and to provide her something in her hands so she could have it, whether she was in the Guinness world or not. Well, then that did come to be. And book one, inside of this book, there are two books in one. Book one is Mother Endorsed. That means every single word and sentence has been verified. And it took us a long time to do it because I would be reading it to her and she would tell me, well, did you put this in there? And I'd have to go find it. And she'd say, well, did you say it that way? So I'd have to go show it to her. That's book one. It's The Life and Triumph of Janet Barnes. But it was done in a fashion, in vignettes. So what you have are actually mother's literal expressions, words, and statements collected and given by her for all of us to hear. And then in book two, which was written after her death, although it was intended to be a revision of book one, it took me about a year to be able to do that. My mother was hit by a car, knocked out of her wheelchair 30 feet, and broke just about every bone in her body, literally.
Oh, my gosh.
On a ventilator. I know. On a ventilator. Got off the ventilator. And here's the miracle. And I have the doctor, the orthopedic surgeon at Barnes Jewish Hospital, chief guy, saying out loud, in 3 months, she healed every fracture, something teenage boys can't do. So more and more things happened like that. She recovered. She died because of a series of missteps, not because she was ill, frail, injured, or a quadriplegic. She just died because of things that happened. And I had to grow into my own ability to share with you and everyone listening and anyone that is willing to get to know this remarkable life, a story that is so big for me that I didn't want to use shame on you and blame. I stepped aside. I paid attention. I let mother's words be the words that speak. One of mother's most known quotes, and there are many, is the quote on the front of the book cover that says, I have not been handicapped by my condition. I am physically challenged and differently able.
Angela, can you also say a bit before we go on, because I do want to talk about sort of the journey from your mother's voice to your voice. Can you also share about your mother was not born? She was not born a quadriplegic, right? Is that correct?
No, mother was born a quadriplegic.
Well, she was. Okay.
So since 1928, she was a quad. Okay. So the only knowledge in the world, the only one born as a quadriplegic.
Wow.
And in the book, at a point later, you will see mother's words that I have known for my entire life, where she tells the story of my grandmother asking the doctor, doesn't that baby need turned? Because she thought she did. And the doctor taking a nap. And when the doctor returned, mother was born. And he gave my grandparents back $5 for breaking her neck.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's an incredible story. And so, you know, one of the things that strikes me immediately is, you know, what is it like? What is that experience like to grow up in, you know, your mother's voice is so strong. And of course, you know, your father as well. And, you know, at what point, I guess one of my questions to you would be, was it difficult for you to find your own voice coming from a world where you had such a strong presence in your mother and father's voices?
That's a little challenging. I don't know is the first answer.
Yeah.
But mother and daddy's voice was not a bellowing voice. It was an action of life. We all just lived. We didn't feel unique or different.
Right.
Not until I was 12 when there was an incident when I was in my 12-year-old preteen emotions and I screamed at her one day, I don't like you. And she asked me, was it because she was handicapped? I'd never had to think about that. And no, it wasn't. It's because
it was just because you were 12, right?
I was 12 and you're an adult and I don't like you.
Exactly.
But that did change my life that day because I never again during my youth ages was as free as I was to holler that day that I don't like you.
Yeah. You know, I one of the things I think of, you know, Angela, as you're saying this, you know, it reminds me of people who that I've met whose parents were, you know, went through extraordinary things like prisoners of war or survived the Holocaust or something extremely, you know, something like that where I wonder if this was your experience, but sometimes I think it can be hard for people to, it's hard to ever feel like anything that we go through in our lives is adversity. It's like, you think that's hard, right?
They've been a tough act to follow.
Tough act to follow.
Even though I've had challenges, and even though I literally drove under a semi.
Oh my God.
To stand up against that was a different story. You're correct.
Okay, now you have to tell us what happened that I did not know that story.
Oh, this was probably 1978, and I was back home in St. Louis, which is where my parents were living, and my dad was in some pretty bad health conditions, and it was scary times. And so I came back from that time living in California, driving my grandfather's car, literally. And up until this one date, putting mother in the car with me in the front seat and getting the children, my daughters in the back seat, and going back and forth, being the chauffeur for whatever was needed. Mm-hmm. There was a day I was out on my own driving in 270, which is a pretty busy street in St. Louis, like quasi-Highwood highway, mm-hmm. and sleet and snow and hail became, and I was in a big line of traffic, and I don't know, a car, I think I'm told five cars ahead of me skidded badly, and we had a 13-car pileup. I was one of them, and I was looking at my car that I didn't have any ability to manage very well, skidding off to the right and thinking, okay, that's not so bad. I'm just going to end up in a ditch over here on the right.
Yeah.
What happened was the tires on the car were pretty bald. The car spun around facing head-on in the fastest lane with a semi looking right at me. Doug, I passed out from fright. I wasn't on impact that minute. I passed out from fright. Well, you know where I landed? I landed up, because the car did hit the side of my driver's side, I ended up in the floorboard on the right side, passenger side. My knee had a pretty bad gash, but I ended up in the only safe spot, because literally the back of the car, the back seat where my children would have been, was up front next to the front seat, and where the tires were in the trunk was back up there where the back of the car should have been. And
oh my gosh.
Before I came aware of myself again, I had literally slid under the truck, and that truck had jackknifed to make room for me. So I think he was an angel, and he saved my life. So those have been several examples of my traumas, and I don't think I need to do that anymore.
No. And Angela, can you share with us, with our listeners, some wisdom that, you know, that you've gleaned from, you know, from your own life, but certainly from, you know, from your, you know, watching your mother and father and how they dealt with adversity?
There's nothing we can't do if we make our mind up to do it. Stay awake and pay attention. You don't have to do everything right now. That's my side. And it's acceptable and maybe preferable to learn from others' mistakes. Not have to do them myself.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that, right?
Well, I've been doing them myself, so I've decided for the easier route.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that, too. Yeah.
And I personally believe that I need to let words out. There's a story about mother who I would like to just briefly tell you, and I'll tell you why it's so important to me. She has the story that named my beliefs. Her story was that as a volunteer grandmother, after she retired working, so she was already in her 60s by the time she started volunteering, maybe closer to 70s, I'm not sure where she was, and with one of the young children in the grade school where she was a volunteer grandmother, this little boy had had lots of troubles, couldn't speak very often, and had a hard time reading. Well, mother was there regularly every day, so she was like a piece of the furniture, and the kids were comfortable with her and expected her to be there. This little boy at eye level with mother's wheelchair one day blurted out to her, "My mama got a new boyfriend, and he shot my baby sister."
Oh.
And when he said that, that kid could talk and interact with his peers and go on and read books and, I'm sure, do well in school and whatever he needed to do.
Yeah.
But that taught me in a languaging way, words need out. And so my focus of writing is letting words out. I offer and I present healing writing workshops, because sometimes the words we need to hear have to come from us to ourselves. And I am wanting to make that awareness more present, because we can be beat up by words of others, but not as long-lasting as the words of our own.
Yeah, very, very true. And what you said too about, I definitely find that to be true as well, that, you know, if we can put language to something, if we can, you know, if we can, I think of it like with stories, you know, if we can story it, we can survive it, you know, and if we can speak it, we can survive it. So I think that's very powerful. I think that's a very powerful.
And I think if we see it and we own it or we name it, we can change it.
Yeah.
We're not locked into this marriage with these words that may not fit our life.
Right. Right.
I literally had to write a poem before I could challenge myself with the book I wrote for Mother. It's titled She's Not Confined. It was literally written the first day I started putting text to this project. The project is like a collage. It does include sentiments from others, Mother's writing, Mother's art, her poetry, words and conversations from other students and other people whose lives she's touched. So she's touched many in this world, and I've seen the blessings come back. But for me as a daughter, that's not the only person I knew. I knew the mother. And it didn't jive always with what I was hearing. So if you would like to hear it, I'll be happy to share She's Not Confined, because for me, that was the segue into a new relationship, a new awareness, and an ability to be present with her through the time of her accident all the way to her death in a way I might never have had if I hadn't done this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
It's big.
It is. And, you know, one of the things I think that's so amazing is that we now live in a time, I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm curious to get your thoughts about this, Angela. But, you know, if you think about like 100 years ago, how difficult it would have been to, like, we didn't have all these tools, right? We wouldn't have been able to get on a podcast, or, you know, even publishing a book was, I mean, that was a really, you know, a lot more difficult.
You do it like Mother did. You become the editor-in-chief of your school papers.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
She's always
That's amazing.
Shared
so words. I guess there is always a way, right?
If there is a way.
If you have the, yeah. But
the
we do have more of these
amazing.
Tools now. I think we have more creative outlets and ways to, because I know a big part for you was, like you said, it was really preserving and making sure you got her story, right? Before that story was lost.
I wanted to get it out, yes. And I wanted it because Mother is a woman who wanted to be known. And I was able to help with that project, to let her see it and know it while she was alive.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate to be able to hear so many other directions of information. She's being identified as a mentor to so many college students because she's been in there participating in their study curriculum through physical therapy or rehabilitation services. I've just met and spoke with a group in the last 2 weeks where the lady who is now the executive director, as a young student, called Mother her greatest learning curve because she has a disability and she wasn't knowing how to grow up with that disability until Mother was there. And she said, Mother's her mentor, how to grace and live with whatever you have, because we all have something.
Did you ever see your mother frustrated or, you know, with her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, if you want to know what she was thinking of doing last, as she healed from this terrible accident where she was struck by the car 2.5 years ago and knocked out of it 30 feet and broke everything, she was wanting to sign up and go back and learn to be a paralegal because she didn't think our system had it right.
Wow.
So, no, she wasn't quitting. She was voicing it. And I have some agendas because I see so many things that my eyes are open. And unfortunately, I don't always like seeing what I see. But at this point, one of the purposes of the website is to find a forum for us to see what we see, but bring to the table solutions. I told you earlier, Mother and Daddy were solution-oriented. We moved when I was in first grade to a neighborhood where the church didn't have any ramps or access to get to Mass. That's not a problem. Daddy poured poured a sidewalk so he could get in the back through the rectory.
Oh, my gosh.
There's not a reason that you can't. There's a reason. There's just something that needs figured out.
It's just to figure out. That's. Can you say a little bit, Angela? I want to make sure that we have time to discuss. I know that you created the Janet Barnes Legacy Foundation. Can you say a little bit about what that is and why you created it?
I can. It was created within 24 hours of mother's death. The first thought in my mind as I was ranting and raving was to make sense of nonsense because of those mishap stories. But in reality, it's done so that we can all open our eyes and see through the perception of where we see a defect so that I will never have somebody again in somebody's life walking in as a new resident without a hello to anybody, looking at a woman in bed and saying in front of a certified nursing attendant and a janitor, this woman should not be allowed to live. It's unethical to have her alive. So that was much for me. That was a defining moment. No one deserves that. And so the purpose of the foundation is to partner with and work with and help and be part of whatever it takes to get the awareness known that the right to live and the humanity of being provided dignity is an inherent right. Now, the right to choose not to do that is your personal right. That's a different thing. But we all have a right. And at this point, I have concerns that some of our students and medical students are so busy with the challenges of their careers that just reading or learning electively is not working. The purpose is to get the books into the university school system so this becomes a model so that they will see upfront and personally a well-lived life of an independent woman with severe limitations that didn't let them stop her.
Right, because, I mean, it's the my friend Nana Denso says, I love this. He says, you know, the biggest loss of the biggest, it's been said that the biggest loss is not that we die. It's what dies inside us while we're still alive. And it sounds like your mother's spirit, her spirit was there till the very end.
It probably still is, Doug.
Yeah. Well, certainly it is, right? Because you're continuing this work and we're having this conversation, right?
Yes. Well, mother, told me something that I put in the book. She said, you're not supposed to be proud of yourself. But I was proud of my life. I put it in the past tense now, but it says, I lived a well-lived life. My muscles were terrible. I couldn't lift anything, but my mind compensated for my lack of muscle.
Yeah.
And so the operative point was she lived, and her greatest reason for that life and her belief system probably is in that she said, nothing ever stopped us. There was nothing beyond determination. So the determination, and I would use my words, to change our decision to change our thought, our decision to think different, our decision to act different, will determine our outcome. She just put determination first and put her wheelchair and her strength right behind that and pushed on and did it all.
What do you think gave her that kind of determination?
I can probably pinpoint one piece of it. Many things, but I think she was in her teens and she was working at home, paying her own cost for a telephone line so she could do telephone calls. And something happened with her dad, and it's in the storybook, but something happened, and she wanted to tell her grandma about it because it was wrong. And her grandmother, her father's grandmother, I've never met her, said to Mother, Janet, be good to him. He's always going to have to take care of you. Mm. Mother said that's when she became independent and stubborn in that moment and said, nobody will ever have to only just take care of me.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
So that was probably before she was 16. But I also believe because my grandparents were not good parents for her. They were immature. Uneducated in doing this, and they didn't know how to take care of any child, let alone one with special
let
needs.
Let alone one with, you know, right, with the
mother's creativity and her brain and her mind and her thinking is probably where her strength came from.
Wow. Angela, it's just been amazing. I want to make sure that we give people that link again if they want to check out the book and they want to learn more about, about your mother.
I was fortunate. I discovered after mother's death, from a computer that had also died, where every time I went online on the computer to try to get a file, it said corrupt file. One day, it opened up, and I was able to copy and paste. And one of the ones I'm gifting to everyone is titled My Life by Janet Barnes. These are words mother typed in her wheelchair, one thumb depression at a time. It's pretty long. It's like 6 or 7 pages, and it's where she's taken a breath and she's put one letter at a time down. It's her entire life. So it's a good life summary. It is available to everyone by going to the website and 90poundheavyweight.org/giveaway, and you can have that.
Angela Barnes, Angela, it's just an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining me on Creating Change.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone. Remember, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.